if you just try and chase the numbers, you're going to have a bad time, not just because you lose interest in it, but also because I think the audience can tell. And so really the quality of the videos go down because you're doing stuff that you're not genuinely interested in.
Hey everyone, welcome to How Success Happens. I'm Dan Bova, writer and editor at entrepreneur.com. And, you know, people say there is no exact science to succeeding, but perhaps today's guest begs to differ on that. Steve Mould is the host of a wildly popular YouTube channel where he performs crazy science experiments and then explains what the hell we just saw to an audience of 3.5 million subscribers. He writes books, performs comedy, holds a physics degree from the University of Oxford. Sometimes he does all three of those things at the same time. Let's talk to him. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, good to be here.
Very good to meet you. Love your videos. Love that you're able to explain baffling things in words that my feeble brain can get its arms around. So good on you for that.
Oh, I appreciate that. It's what I try and do. So it's good to hear that it's working for you.
Even for an idiot like me. Thank you. Can you kind of talk us through your entire life, Steve? No, but can you talk us through the kind of moment where you realized, like, hey, maybe doing these videos and being professionally funny is a way to pay the bills?
I studied science at university. I studied physics because I just always wanted to know how everything worked. You know, that was my thing. And physics seems like the ultimate subject for that, you know, because it's like understanding things at the most fundamental level. But I was also really into comedy. And so when I was at university, I did some open mic nights and things like that. And then when I graduated, I was doing open mic nights in London, which is tough. I mean, you know, they're tough gigs and stuff. And I was considering a career in stand-up comedy, but it's grueling, you know, it's kind of, yeah, it's not for me. And I was missing the science, you know, because I had a day job doing IT support and database design and things like that. And then doing these gigs in the evening. And then I kind of fell in with the kind of SciComm crowd, so the science communicators. Doing that, I met a couple of people, Matt Parker, that's a stand-up maths channel, and Helen Arney. And we're longtime collaborators. So we met and we decided, let's put on a comedy night about science for adults. So it's not going to be families and kids. It's going to be proper comedy, but you advertise it, it's for nerds. So come along if that sounds like your sort of thing. You know, and so that was amazing. So we kind of grew this thing. It's called Festival of the Spoken Nerd. It started off upstairs room in a pub, 40 seats. We do that monthly. And then we moved to a bigger venue, and then we started doing like annual best of shows at big theaters. And then we did some tour shows and DVDs and things like that. I was doing these live shows and they had demos in them, science demos, experiments. And one day I thought, well, I could just make a video, little videos about each one and post them on YouTube. And at the time there was no way to make money really on YouTube, or at least not a direct way to do it. And then two things kind of happened at the same time. One video that I posted had a little bit of viral success, which is this kind of chain fountain thing that happens. So you put a load of bead chain in a pot, and when it falls out of the pot, it launches itself into the air before it falls back down again. Sometimes called the mold effect.
You're kind of stepping over that, but you've got this phenomenon recognized in physics that's named after you, but continue.
I'll carry on. A little bit of viral success with this one video, and then at the same time this program began at YouTube where you could earn ad revenue, so you get a share of the ad revenue. And I thought, okay, so maybe I could earn money from this.
That's fantastic. Wow. So there's a lot of things I want to ask you about. And just to sort of go back to those early days, the crucible of the open mic night, what did you learn about being comfortable in front of people? What did you learn about finding your own voice? Was that a tough process or something that came naturally to you?
Yeah, the open mic nights at university were organized by an amazing comedian called Josie Long. She just had, still has, a knack of making the audience really nice, really lovely audience. It's kind of, when you're hosting a comedy night, that's part of the job. You're kind of engineering the audience to be what you want them to be. And she did an amazing job of that. So my first few gigs, I think I must have done three while I was at university. Incredibly nerve-wracking, especially before the first one. Just really, really nervous about it. But they were so nice and the audience was so nice that I just had an amazing time. And so I kept doing it. And it was harder when I then moved to London and was doing the open mic circuit in London. But that introduction was amazing, to have that great experience and to gain that kind of confidence on stage, you know.
And did you come out of the gate sort of fully formed, this is who I am, or did you have to experiment a little bit with like finding your voice, or what I guess I'm getting at is being authentic without, trying too hard?
For the most part, it's authentic and always has been, really. So the sorts of jokes I was telling were very nerdy jokes.
Uh-huh.
And
can you treat us to one?
No. No, you it's funny. I'm somewhere sitting in a drawer on a hard drive, I've got a very early gig, and no one's allowed to see it. I don't know. I don't know when you started putting stuff out there, but it's the juvenilia. It's embarrassing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about whether someone wants to start a YouTube channel or start their own thing. Can you remember when that kind of entered your head, like, hey, this might be my full-time job? And did that scare you at all?
Could AI help you do more of what you love? Workday is the next-gen ERP powered by AI that actually knows your business. We help you handle the have-to-dos so you can focus on the can't-wait-to-dos. It's a new Workday.
It was probably when I decided to hire a studio space, because I was making videos in the house, and my wife, entrepreneurial as she is, had started a nursery business, bilingual Spanish-English nursery business, and it was in our house. So I was setting stuff up quickly and then taking it down again, and kind of working around that.
Yeah.
And it was really slowing me down.
In those early days of it, what did success mean? And you've been at it for quite a while and obviously have done well. What does success mean to you now?
Good question. I think there's a few facets to that. There's a sense of always improving, always getting better at the craft. And YouTube's actually quite good for that, because, or at least in the niche that I'm in, which is explaining things, because you get feedback in the comments and you realize, oh, okay, so maybe I left a few people behind here. I could have given more clarity in this section. And it means that, you know, the next time you make a video where there might be a similar misunderstanding, you're not going to leave that gap.
Well, it's interesting that you you mentioned the comments, because, you know, a lot of people that I've spoken to say, like, never look at the comments. The comments, people are nuts in there. It'll drive you crazy. But it seems like you don't prescribe to that exact way of doing things.
It is a mixed bag, because it's frustrating when you realize that you've left some people behind, or you've made a bit of a mistake or something like that. So the learning process can be painful, because you wish you hadn't made the mistake in the first place.
Right.
And it's the classic conundrum when you're looking at feedback, you know, you can have 99% positive feedback, but you only remember the negative feedback.
So one of the other big struggles that content creators face is exhaustion. Can you talk a little bit about how you manage that?
Yeah.
Was there a moment where you're doing too much and you ratcheted it down, or how do you plan out your day so that you're not feel like you're running around like a maniac?
Yeah, there was definitely a time like that, and kind of still is, but not as bad. You know, what I would love to be doing is just tinkering away with something I find interesting, whatever my hyper-focus is. And then eventually when there's a video ready, I'll post it. But one of the first successes you have with a YouTube channel is you get sponsorship. And that goes on a schedule. So a sponsor tells you when they want the sponsorship message to go out. And so you commit to making videos on that schedule. So I typically try and put out 2 videos a month. And so those slots are booked up months in advance by various sponsors. And so I'm locked into, I have to make that many videos and they have to come out on that time. And so it's not that fun thing anymore where I'm just tinkering with something interesting and I can play with it for as long as I want. And then when it's ready and it's interesting enough, I post it. It has to happen at this certain pace. And so I have to leave really interesting things behind when they're done with and posted. And I have to move on to the next thing that's maybe not quite ready yet and all that sort of stuff. And the other thing is with YouTube, you are always trying to improve, or at least, you know, it's an important thing to be aiming for. And so, you know, 1 week I'll decide I'm really going to make an effort with the color grade on this video. And it's great and it looks better and everything, but then I can't go back. So the next video also has to have a great color grade. And yeah. And then I do the same thing with sound. I do the same thing with whatever. And so it takes longer and longer to make a video. It takes more and more man hours yeah. to make a video. And so if you're not building your team at the same time, you're going to burn out because you're slowly creating more and more work, but it's only you.
Can you talk about, I don't know, like the power of curiosity, like, you know, within your own investigations or, you know, stuff from history of going down a path you didn't know where it was going to take you and it took you to someplace like amazing, or you learned something that you never would have expected?
I mean, it happens with videos all the time because I go into a video with an idea of how something works and I'll roughly script it. And then it's annoying when it comes to actually doing the experiment. I find out that the answer is something different and I have to re-script the thing. but it's great because, you know, I'm learning and I'm figuring out new things. I don't know what it is, but I feel like, I mean, this is an ad hoc hypothesis, which is terrible. Scientists shouldn't just, you know, spout ad hoc hypotheses, but here you go. I think curiosity for its own sake is a natural human trait, because if you think about a lot of the discoveries that we've made in the past, they were by scientists who just wanted to know how something works, didn't have any use. But then it turned out to be useful later. And I suspect we have evolved this kind of innate curiosity for how things work, not because we hope it'll be useful, but because we just want to understand how things work. And that was selected for evolutionarily because very often it led to things that helped us survive. And so I just think innate curiosity, you know, that kind of blue sky research, they call it, you know, just research for the sake of it, is just, it's a part of human nature.
So we get questions sent into our email, howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com. And we got a question for you, not so much a question as it is a command. This is from Rich. It says, I'd be grateful if one of your videos could give us the unified theory of everything so we can all move on. Thanks.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, that's my next one. That's the one that's coming out next. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? We know the universe so well and our models work so incredibly well and they describe everything so brilliantly well, except for this one little bit. these two pillars of physics, and they just don't play nice together. It's so annoying.
Any closer to it? You got the inside scoop. Any breaking news on my theory?
No, I just think we need to smash particles together even harder and we'll work something out.
So we'd love to ask, what is a habit that you are happy to have and one that you wish you could ditch?
Okay, I'll start with ditch because that's easy. I procrastinate very badly. Actually, I was at a conference called ThinkerCon for science communicators, YouTubers, like educational YouTubers. And I was sat in a room with a whole load of YouTubers that I admired, and they all just seemed so productive all the time. Something that I do, which seems probably counterproductive, is I can spend a long time replying to emails from viewers that wouldn't lead to any income, but it'll be someone's emailed me a question, something they don't understand, and I can see that I might be able to explain the thing to them, which is something I just really enjoy anyway. But also, I'm honing an ability that I use in my work. So on the one hand, you could argue, well, you know, it's a waste of my time when I'm supposed to be making videos. But on the other hand, you have to take joy in the work, and I enjoy explaining things even one-on-one over email. It's also why I do live shows. You know, the live shows don't earn as much as the YouTube videos, but it's just great to meet people and stand in front of people and do it sort of face to face like that.
That's awesome. And I love the idea of just getting in reps, like just getting practicing explaining things. That's great. So finally, dark matter or dark chocolate, which do you prefer?
Dark matter. I just don't like dark chocolate, really. It's just an acquired taste, I think.
Whereas dark matter, you know, everybody loves it.
Yeah. I think too much about dark matter. It's a real mystery. There's a lot of things that I wish I could make videos about, but I don't think that they would perform well. I'm really interested in biology. There's some like amazing, like at the genetic level, amazing like adaptations in the natural world, crazy brilliant stuff. But when I make videos about them, they don't perform particularly well, so I don't do them very often. Similarly with like really hard physics, you know, so cosmology and, you know, relativity and all that sort of stuff, quantum mechanics, I don't really get into it because I don't know, it's not quite the angle that my channel has, even though I spend a long time thinking about that stuff.
Do you ever, is that part of your calculus all the time? Or do you ever say, you know what, I don't think this is going to do well, but I'm just doing this for me because I want to do it?
Yeah, it's a difficult balance. If you just try and chase the numbers, you're going to have a bad time. Not just because you lose interest in it, but also because I think the audience can tell. And so really the quality of the videos go down because you're doing stuff that you're not genuinely interested in. But at the same time, you don't want to kill the channel by just doing a massive pivot on everyone, all your regular viewers. Right. I think there's a kind of middle ground where you can explore new formats and stuff. But again, you need the capacity to do it, because probably I wouldn't be comfortable putting a sponsor on it in case it didn't do very well. And so I have to have the room to say, well, you know, we don't need sponsorship money this month or whatever. So you have to bake in space for that kind of thing, which at the moment I'm not great at.
Right, got it. All right, well, Steve, thank you so much for all this time you've given me, and so can you tell people the best way to keep up with all the fun stuff you're up to?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the YouTube channel, really. So you can subscribe there.
And you want to say the name of the YouTube channel?
It's just my name, Steve Mould. So youtube.com/Steve Mould, M-O-U-L-D.